This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the end of this segment, end of the show, taking you up to 6:30 tonight on Grant and Danny. We've got tickets to Deftones North American Tour. Better be listening. We'll be giving those away at 6 o'clock all week long on G&D. Speaking of tickets, we're giving away Caps tickets at 4 each and every day this week. So the Beltway Blitz tomorrow right at 4, halfway into the show. Make sure you're listening if you want those Caps tickets. It's time for you to plan your future. The exclusive sponsor of our shows, the law firm Kondorian Murrah. They'll help you update your last will and testament. Set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, before we get to don't forget about a couple of turning points I thought in the game yesterday. First and foremost has to be the Cardinals get the opening kickoff. They return it to the 40-yard line. Remember, they fumbled, they recovered it, and they were nearly at midfield after like a 4 or 5 yard advancement, starting their drive first and 10. They immediately go right down the field, 9 plays, 55 yards, 5 minutes, 6 seconds, time elapsed. Could not have been a more simple opening drive. They've scored a touchdown, by the way, on every first drive of their season.
Yes, they have.
Only team
they're
in the
really
league.
Good there.
7-0 lead. Turning point would be when Washington came out on the first drive it had for the second time in as many weeks on the road. Now down as they huddle up. They get 4 yards on first and 10. Daniel scrambles for 2. It's a 3rd and 4. So you haven't punted in a couple of weeks. 3rd and 4 is very manageable, very reasonable. But on 3rd and 4, great design by Kingsbury. They get Alameda Zacchaeus, who hadn't caught a ball in a few weeks, wide open on a little out route out of a little stack look. He gets 16 yards on a catch and run, gets pushed out of bounds. And right like that, Washington was across midfield, about 15 yards from field goal range, on a run, a 2-yard scramble, and a 16-yard completion on 3rd down. And I thought just moving the chains on that play. Then they went 2-yard run Robinson, 6-yard run Daniels, had another 3rd and short, and B-Rob ripped off a 17-yard run, and they were almost in the red zone. But being able to come out and go 2-for-2 like that on 3rd down, get their offense going. They were 4 for their first 4. They ended up 9 for 12 on 3rd down. I thought that was a real nice moment for them to settle into the ballgame.
So for me, the most important sequence was the first time, it seems, in a long time. It's a footnote now, but adversity struck for the offense. There hadn't been much. Hadn't been many problems. Self-inflicted against the Giants, but they moved the ball up and down the field and got points on every drive. Saw the same thing against Cincinnati. Well, for the first time in Jaden Daniels' professional career, he threw an interception. We can break down whose fault was what. I don't really care about that. I'll take my chances trying to drive something down the field when Terry McLaurin's one-on-one. Guy from the Cardinals made a great play. I thought that was an outstanding play. Throw a sail a little bit on Daniels. Interception. Whatever, right? What do you do next? The defense, which has been god-awful this year, coming into this game, the defense had allowed opposing quarterbacks a 127 and change passer rating, which would be the greatest quarterback season in league history. That's what was going on coming into the football game. They forced a 3-and-out. Washington's offense, still not quite right, goes 3-and-out themselves, actually losing a couple of yards in the process. So again, the defense holds, forces a 4th down, converts, they get the ball back, then they finally get back going again on offense, go up and score. If this is the week's past, if this is Cincinnati, for example, who had a scoring opportunity on each drive, only missed a field goal, and then fell short of you because they were trailing and had to go for 2 and missed it and whatever, you could be down 21-14, 20-14, 17-14. You could be losing at that point. The defense, which has been terrible all year long, was not when it really, really mattered. And that's kind of hidden. It's going to get lost because it was a 42-14 blowout. We don't think twice about it. When it was a one-score game with Arizona having some momentum after a pick, after a 3-and-out, the defense stood tall. That's why they won the game to me. It was only a matter of time before the offense got going and doing this offense thing again. And all it took was a couple of drives. They found their footing and started kicking ass again. But they don't get the chance to do that if the defense doesn't stand tall in that two possession sequence.
I'll give you one more turning point that I thought proved critical. I'm a huge believer in the last couple of minutes of the half and the first couple of minutes of the second
first
half.
First four, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the coach and what they call it. But yeah, it's like that four-minute sandwich, basically, before and after halftime. And oftentimes, the team that out-executes the other and wins that little margin wins the football game. The Cardinals had the football moving right to left. They had a 4th-and-1 at the Commanders' 35-yard line. I thought they should have kicked in what is today's NFL a pretty automatic field goal on their surface, the ball flying out west the way that it does, decent kicker. They elected not to kick what would have been a 53-yard field goal. They went for 4th-and-1 at the plus 35. Now, I will never have an issue with that. Because honestly, Danny, the majority of the time I believe in going 4th-and-1. And in fact, that's the right play, I'm sure, analytically. I would guarantee you that whatever metric you're looking at would say, you're playing against a team, you can't stop, you got to go here. But they went for it and didn't get it. It was a terrible Kyler Murray play. They called a pass out of shotgun, not a run, which didn't make sense. Murray froze in the pocket, saw ghosts. I have no idea still what he was looking at. In fact, go check out my Twitter and my Instagram if you want, at Grant H. Paulson. I posted a screen grab of this. He has two receivers that ran little button hooks, little curls, wide open past the sticks. He turns both of them down. He's looking for something else. He's waiting for Marvin Harrison Jr. down the field to get uncovered. He gets crushed by Dorrance Armstrong from a sack, which, by the way, I thought Dorrance Armstrong had his best game. You agree?
Agreed, yes, 100%.
Sack and a half, but he was just pressuring Murray all game long. That sack gave Washington the ball at the 42-yard line, almost at midfield, with 30 seconds to go before the half. Now, I know they had to have good execution and go down the field because we haven't seen Seibert kick anything from deep. They did, by the way. Daniels threw a little check down to McNichols, who had space, got out of bounds for 6. Then Daniels had a throw in the middle of the field to Zach Ertz for 13 yards. It was wide open. It was, after that timeout, a 1st-and-10 from the Arizona 39. You're about 5 yards from field goal range. Daniels scrambled for 7 into field goal range, and then with their 2 timeouts left, because they hadn't burned them unlike the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Better clock management this week, so they were able to do this. McNichols on a draw for 5. They just got into really good field goal range for a 45-yarder for Seibert to end the half. But that sequence, the sack stop into getting the ball back and then just knowing exactly what they're doing. We're trying to get to the 30-yard line.
Yep.
We got our timeouts. Jaden scrambling when he needed to. Checking it down to McNichols a couple times. Like, it was easy money. And like most of the day in the season so far offensively, they made it look so easy. For years, that's been an incompletion on first down, a drop on second down, a sack on third down, and you let the clock run out.
And the other team's going, well, maybe we have some time.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, like, of
they
course.
They never drop passes. They just haven't. Nobody's dropping passes.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback is very rarely pressured. They don't turn the ball over. They don't commit penalties. The thing that they want to happen seems to always happen. And I'm trying to give them all the credit for that because you make your own breaks. Oprah Winfrey style, that's the quote my mom used to tell me that she said, luck is being prepared. Okay, cool. But they're getting those breaks and they're taking advantage. And I thought that was just a perfect way to end the half. So instead of a 7-point game with Arizona having to watch Washington get the ball first to start the second half, it's a 10-point game. And if you go score, it's 17 and it feels like a blowout.
Which
and
is what it was, yeah.
55-yard pass interference. Again, bang, bang, could be called. I'm glad it was. I don't think it should have been called, but your boy's going to take it. And you're 1st and goal from the 10 on a basically one-play drive at that point. And the game was over, essentially. Arizona's one-dimensional. That's when the defense started playing really good ball. All because of that sequence to start the second half and end the first half.
Yeah, I think it's smart. I mean, it's the type of thing that I remember Belichick and the Patriots used to turn me on to this in terms of what you should do and how you should manage the clock and how you should manage possessions. And they would always, it seems, win that last 2-minute drill, 4 minutes, whatever, the first half, and then always end up having the ball at the start of the second half. They're going to score. Next thing you know, what was a tight game is now a 10-point game or a 14-point game or 20-point game or something. And that's how it went here. Because again, as you said, it was 14-7 with Arizona driving from the Washington 35. From the Washington 35. And it went from that to Washington's up 17. Pretty remarkable, that turn of events. And now we think of it as a laugher, and I'll take it. I love laughers. I have a great time with those when there's sideline humor and everyone's going, so I did this and he did that. Ha, 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 ha. Isn't that so funny? We're up by so many points.
Let's get to Don't Forget About. We try to end the show this way after all the Commanders games and for three straight weeks. That means after Commanders wins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget about Alamide Zaccheaus catching 10 balls last year and being uninvolved throughout the season until grabbing six passes for 85 yards, including a pop pass that he took for a first down, and then that 27-yard swing throw out of the backfield where there was nobody around him. Some explosiveness at the receiver position from Zaccheaus, who had been whisper quiet over the first 3 weeks.
Don't forget about the blocking ability of John Bates. Right, there's a couple different moments where you can see some of the All-22 that people are now posting on the Twitterverse or other moments where they're running, no matter who's running the football, be it Jeremy McNichols, be it Brian Robinson, it's been Austin Eckler, whomever, that Bates is sealing the edge. He's coming on pulls and different ways across the formation, smacking linebackers, defensive ends, etc. He has really held up, and he's not catching a ton of passes, caught 1 for 9 this past week, but he's leading that tight end group as sort of an extra extension of the offensive line. He's been great in that regard.
Don't forget about the fact that Austin Eckler was supposed to have been missed yesterday. He will be on the show, by the way, at 5 o'clock. He has arguably been Washington's best offensive player this year through three games. And then he didn't play yesterday. And they were going to miss him, and the offense was not going to be the same, we thought. Now, over time, they would miss him. He's a great football player. But Jeremy McNichols stepped in and stepped up. Don't forget 8 carries, 68 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Anybody grab him on the waiver wire in fantasy this weekend? I'm going to run through Jeremy McNichols' stops in the NFL dating back to 2017.
Here we go.
Give me some time. Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Indianapolis, Denver, Tennessee, Chicago, Jacksonville, Tennessee again, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Washington, Canton, the Hall of Fame. Nobody has ever been better than Jeremy McNichols looked yesterday.
It's like that Johnny Cash song, I've Been Everywhere, to that tune. I mean, unbelievable. Don't forget about the fact that Marvin Harrison Jr. caught 5 for 45. A number one receiver who's good, I've seen production for Marvin Harrison, only had 45 yards receiving against Washington.
He's not Malik Nabers good, by the way.
Well, he's very good.
No, I'm not trying to say he isn't, but doesn't look different. Don't you think Malik Nabers is better than him, having seen both of them play?
Right now, this minute, I mean, Nabers torched Washington,
well,
certainly.
Sure, but I mean, we're throwing the Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams party. I'm just talking about, so far, what we're seeing. Malik Nabers is better than Marvin Harrison.
Right now, I would say so, yeah. Harrison's good. He's a number one receiver, so you could be a number five receiver and still have a bunch of yards. I will take 5 for 45 from another team's number one all day and twice on Sunday. So it ain't great yet in the secondary. Not saying it is. I'm not saying anything's been solved. I will say this. That was a third, maybe a quarter of what I expected. I honestly thought we were going to get double-digit catches, 180 yards, couple of touchdowns, a walk in the park, and it wasn't that.
Don't forget about the fact that Washington had its best day turned in by starting linebackers in several seasons, probably. Bobby Wagner, I thought, was tremendous yesterday. We talked about how he'd had a lot of tackles, but not a lot else. had a half sack, had a couple of TFLs, lived in the backfield, made the 11 stops to lead the team. Frankie Louvu also contributed half of a sack, also had seven tackles, had the strip, the ripped fumble that he caused and then recovered as well late in the game. And I don't know how to qualify this or quantify it with numbers, but he led the team and maybe the league yesterday in awesome, badass defensive moments. Just slicing that. In on like pitches in the backfield, just to grab a guy by the ankle and knock him down when it looked like he was going to gain yards, blowing up lead blockers, taking on fullbacks and tight ends in the hole. Frankie Louvu yesterday, that was the guy we were talking about. Remember how big of a story all offseason he was? Like, Louvu's going to be awesome. And for a week or two, people were like, where's Frankie Louvu? Where's Frankie Louvu? That's Frankie Louvu. He arrives violently.
Don't forget about the two-point conversion that Washington had. This throw is not getting enough credit in all the let's give credit to people making throws. This play is not getting near enough attention that it should. Zach Ertz is not open when the ball's thrown. Zach Ertz is on the wrong side of the defender from where he's going to end up when the ball is thrown. Jaden Daniels throws an absolute aspirin tablet right to one spot where his guy is going to eventually win and catch it, sliding for a two-point conversion, which I wouldn't have gone for, by the way. I would have just taken the one and gone and shaken hands on the sideline, but they've got the analytics of football that Ron Rivera left his copy of kindly for his successor, and they went for two right there. That throw and that catch was awesome.
Don't forget that Jaden Daniels slid like he was Jacob Young going into second base.
Mm-hmm.
He's working on it. He's got it in the back pocket, it would appear. That hilarious stat on Monday Night Football against the Bengals when it said, I think it was like Jaden Daniels, 34 runs, one slide, whatever the number of runs was. They got to update that stat. Now it's like 43 runs, two slides. Funniest stat I've ever seen. How many slides at your kid's favorite playground? Two? That's how many slides we got from Jaden Daniels. But the fact that it looks good.
Yeah, it looked natural.
It looks like he can do it. He's not doing the thing where he gets his cleat caught in the grass. He's not tumbling over awkwardly. Just baseball players sliding into second base. Love it.
Don't forget about the fact that Dorrance Armstrong, a guy that, you know, if you applied his sack rate on a per-play basis as a part-time pass rusher the last couple years in Dallas, should be someone that can get over 10 sacks this year. I mean, that's what you do is you find somebody that had a lesser role somewhere else that thrived. You give them a larger role, and you pay them for what they might do. Hadn't looked that way. It looked like a guy that had to come off the field a bunch, always hands on his hips, always tired, never really seemed to be having much of an impact. Had his best game as a Washington local 53 guy whose team name I hate saying. Three quarterback hits, 1.5 sacks, a tackle for a loss. He was everywhere in this game. More of that.
The Browns are in town to take on the Commanders on Sunday over at Northwest Stadium. Kickoff, 1 o'clock. If my social media conversations with people are any indication, there's going to be a lot of Commanders fans coming out for the first time this season. Atmosphere should be good. Please don't be a letdown spot. We'll have all week to break the game down, but how many times has that happened over the last few years where they're playing better ball, they're getting some wins, everyone gets excited, comes out to the home stadium, and then you get let down? This feels different, though. You know, this feels like this team against a Cleveland team, frankly, that's just not that good, is going to be well prepared and have a really good chance to come out and get to 4-1. Territory we're not familiar with.
When's the last time they were 4-1?
Around these parts.
I mean, they weren't in that. In 2011, they were 3-1.
I
was fraudulent.
I think when they were 7-1 with Norville Eugene in 96 and they caved, that was the Michael Westbrook rip your helmet off, face mask penalty to miss the playoffs. If I had to guess, I would say that's the last time.
Because they lost their opener to Dallas that year. Yeah, they weren't even 7. They were 4-1. They beat Arizona to go 4-1 that year. You're right.
That's the last time I would imagine.
Not this millennium. Really. They haven't been 4-1 this millennium, I don't think. You know, the millennium.
Well, that's just 28 years ago. That's all that
it's
is.
It's not that long, I guess.
1996?
Right? Yeah.
That would be 28 years ago.
Mm.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning two tickets to Deftones North America's Tour. It's April 6th at Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. Tomorrow, we got a great show planned for you already, including Commander Survivor.
Yes.
Booting somebody off the island could be tough. Immunity will be a little easier, I think. We've also got Austin Eckler on the program.
Boom.
At 5 o'clock, and we will go around the NFL. Two Monday night games for you to enjoy tonight. We will talk at 2 o'clock.
Thank you for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.